Very welcome indeed, Desmond Early.
And thank you so much for the opportunity to come and talk to you on the show. I know of your show for many years, and some musician friends of mine have actually appeared on the show during the St. Patrick's Day season, which you described as being a month long, but I think there is that special day itself. So many people queue up to just join you and the Irish community there in the studio on the day, and so we'll be around ourselves around town on the day, so you never know, we might pop in.
That would be also great. Tell me about the history. 20 years, a long, long time. So just tell me how the choral group got started.
Yeah, it's, you know, you mentioned the John Henry Newman connection there in the news item. Of course, Newman set up Newman University Church on St. Stephen's Green for when University College Dublin was situated on the Green and at Earlsford Terrace, where, of course, the great literary genius James Joyce went to school. And then in the 60s, the university moved partly out to a Belfield campus. And there's a church on the Belfield campus, and 20 years ago I had a discussion with one of the chaplains, and we thought we'd set up a choir just for any kind of ceremonies that would take place there, you know, sort of funerals or special occasions, but also ambassadorial occasions. So we started out with 8 scholarships for 8 students. Any student could apply for the scholarships. They come from various different disciplines, you know, architecture, agriculture, science, the arts, philosophy, music, law, big university is UCD, Ireland's largest university. I suppose we describe ourselves as the global university. So that original group then went on and grew in reputation, and I got better at what I was doing, and the students increasingly, you know, by osmosis and group learning, just got so good. And a couple of years ago, we were actually on tour in New York in 2014. And when we came back, we had a workshop for one of the producers at Signum Records, a man called Nigel Short. And Signum Records is based in London. And Nigel said, "Why am I here? You know what? There's nothing to do with this group. It's an amazing sound. It's Irish sound, it's a shimmering sound." And he was blown away by the sound of the students singing Irish music and European art music. And he went to Signum and he said, look, these guys need to be recorded. And from that came our first album, Invisible Stars, on the Signum Classics label in 2015. And since then, it's been amazing for the students. Successive groups of students have gone on to record video, and there was just such a worldwide take-up of our work online and on that Invisible Stars disc, particularly, I think, down to our very good friends in the United States and our distant cousins, of course, in the Irish community in the United States, who have supported us. But of course, around the world as well, and Germany and the UK, and so many Irish people living in the UK as well. And we do sneak a few Scottish songs on there, so I suppose our neighbours in Scotland are pleased enough to be included in our selection as fellow Celts, you know?
Yeah. Well, we have so much in common traditionally anyway. You know, my own career here on Irish radio, we started slipping in some Scottish music, but the demand, indeed, you know, for you know, a variety show, we don't even have to make excuses anymore. It's you know, a lot of our music has the same roots, and that's it. But I'm interested in. And you don't have to be modest here, but let's face it, you know, to have the choral scholars of the University College Dublin become such a viral sensation with that Invisible Stars, reaching an audience of 10 million, assuming that there is some room there for exaggeration, that's a staggering, totally staggering outreach. Did this kind of happen overnight? Were you, I'm sure, you know, as the artistic director, and for that matter, you can call yourself the founder, or if you don't, we will. Was that like a shock to you? Were you, you know, shaking, you know, the computer to see, was there, could this be possible? Tell us about that feeling as, like, number one.
I can see it on the faces of my students, that they are so proud of what they've achieved. They really are amazing. And, you know, I've said that they aren't necessarily music students, but they're all musical. As you know, Adrian, you know, sure. Song is such an integral part of the Irish identity and telling of the Irish story that everybody knows a party song. And, you know, they've put in such a huge amount of work that I think, you know, the satisfaction that they can see that their work is accepted and celebrated and enjoyed most of all and shared by people around the world, it's a great honour for them, and it's particularly a great honour for me to be involved with such talented students. And of course, somebody joked to me recently, well, you know, you called your first album Invisible Stars, but they're not invisible anymore, are they? I said, well, no, proper order they're not. And you're right, there have been so many viewings on social media. The global distribution of the disc is amazing. The music that we have performed has gone into print, and choirs all across the United States are performing it. And can I just say, including Irish language texts like Mavilla Mar or out on the next disc, then Dulamon and so on. You know, it's great to see American choirs perform Irish language music, and they do that because of what we've done. And again, you know, it's down to the students who put a huge amount of work into it. They have great fun, of course, as well, and they enjoy it. And that comes out in the music, and I'm sure some of your listeners would be interested, of course, that we are, as you mentioned, coming to Carnegie Hall on the 15th of March. So then, some people get an opportunity to see them live and see how much fun and how dedicated they are. But really, the success, Adrian, yes, it's so satisfying, but it's down to their hard work and their commitment and their professionalism and their dedication. They're incredible.
You know, I just want to ask you, if you wouldn't mind, take us back to the beginning. Now, you know, a chorus group, the choir, starting this off. Was there either a reluctance or perhaps some kind of doubt about, okay, is this going to be, you know, a downer? Is this going to be, you know, a churchy choir type? What did you have in your head? And did influences come from the students, say, listen, here, Desmond, knock it off. This is, we want to be broader, you know. Then the maybe anticipated songs of Faith of Our Fathers or whatever. We have something else in mind, or did you have to be convinced? How did you get that first group together, and how did you get them in? Rope them in.
I literally went around UCD and put up posters and just talked to people. I had just graduated a couple of years, and I was back at the coalface doing a BMus, Bachelor of Music degree. I was 25 years of age, running around asking students, could they sing every Sunday in church, you know, for mass, and you always got people interested, talented people who were lucky because they signed up to it. And after a while, we were invited then to perform at college functions. So it became progressively over time more of an ambassadorial cultural unit. So we moved from singing Palestrina or Heinrich Schütz to singing, you know, Irish traditional stuff and choral Irish music by the likes of composers such as Bill Whelan and Michael McLean of Anuna. Great musicians and world class choral composers both. And have created great identities actually for the Irish through that collaborative singing practice. But then, you know, some of my students will tell you, like, I have one former student, Neve Hyland, who lives in the city there, who's involved with an organization called Artists Without Walls. And that, you know, it's just turning up, rehearsing, and being as excellent as you can be on a piece of music, whatever that piece of music is, and going out and doing your best in any performance for any listener. And, you know, I think it was just opportunity, like anything in the world, when you get opportunity and you take that opportunity, you grasp it, and that's what leads on to shaping the future direction in a way. And so we were getting more and more college-based ambassadorial requests, some TV things and some tours to Europe. And so it became less about a church choir than the college chamber choir that was going to do more Irish music, really.
Now, the arrangement, arrangements, sometimes for, you know, music fans or those perhaps who, you know, attend a concert or something, kind of lose track of the importance of the arrangement. If you take any of the songs, and God knows in our own archives here, you can take a song, and you may have 50 groups, artists, who perform the same song. And yet, even, you know, if you were to, you know, blindly hop from one arrangement to the other, it would sound like, my God, are you sure that's a... Is that the same song? As an arranger, director, everything, do you do this kind of a bit on the fly? If in fact you have something, you come in, it is there, this is it, play this way. Is there room there, say, for your students to say, listen, That's great, but could we put our own kind of crossover into the middle of it? And I know this is now, I'm playing devil's advocate here, but do your students say, okay, you want to know something? He obviously knows what he's doing here, so let's just do it, you know, his way, Desmond's early way. And do people say, Jesus, I don't know, but, you know, I'd like to have a little bit of say in this, too.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, sometimes I'm humbled by the talent that's in front of me, and often, certainly in the last few years, they have been very confident about what they can contribute to it. And, you know, when you're talking about arranging there, of course, it's like a recipe, isn't it? It's like creating a dish, adding a little spice, taking out something, trying a few things. It's more of an experimental process. And I think, especially when you have a solo voice, it really comes down to what the solo voice is going to do, the character, the timbre, the quality of the voice. And will that infuse the song, and will that actually really identify with the song, and will the song be their song after the arrangement? So it's very much down to the personal voice, say, for example, Mark Waters' voice or Ciarán Donovan's voice now on the new album, on the opening track, which is Dúlamán. Ciarán brings so many ornaments in that old Sean Nose style of singing, and you know, he's a Flakeol winner in the voice category. So, of course, there's scope for their ornamentation and elaboration. And if something doesn't work and we feel it in the room, we'll change it. But they can tell me exactly what they think, if that's what you're asking, Adrian. They certainly do.
Yes, sir. I'm trying to get, let's see if we can get a little bit of a song here, Magilla Mair, my Gaelic or my Gaelic hero, which is one of, it's a great song. And this is a great arrangement by, you know, a very talented group. And I just want to ask you a final question in the sense that, okay, these are students of music. What happens when they graduate and they throw the cap in the air and they're on the way out the door? Are there some who say, I wish I could continue, you know, in your program? And is there an avenue for, you know, for that? How does that work? Are you facing new students? You're recruiting, you know, new students all the time. Where did they go from there? For those who really enjoy, they're now into it, but the clock is ticking and they're kind of out the door. What happens there?
I think their experience, Adrian, in Choral Scholars gives them a delight and a joy of song that they'll carry throughout their lives. And I hope that they look back, you know, in many years when I've passed on, those who have been involved in these projects, and they realize that they've been involved with something that's distinctly Irish to the core, and it's fresh and it's modern, and yet it's so familiar to us all. And I think maybe your listeners will get that sort of trinity of aspects exists within the music. And this is why the students continue to sing, you know, post-graduation. They sing with each other and they go on to other groups. So some of them have gone on to solo kind of careers or building solo careers now themselves. But we do have a connectivity with our alumni members, and some of them come back to perform with us. In fact, we're at the National Concert Hall in Dublin on the 25th of April this year in our anniversary concert, and we're hoping that as many of our alumni, over 170 of them at this point, will come back and sing a selection of pieces towards the end of the concert. So that is going to be a very special engagement evening for us. But there's always a connectivity with them. And the other side, of course, is people have to move on. And it's sad. We give them an opportunity to experience it, and then we have to give others an opportunity. So auditions every year for everyone in the group. It's the fairest way to do it. And so anybody that's in can reapply if they're a current student. But come the end of their degree, it's time to say goodbye and ask them to stay in touch.
It might be time to say goodbye, but it's also time for them to leave a legacy and to take that legacy with them. Imagine the great influence that somebody who has actually been part of that very unique, distinctive choral group, taking that through life, that's got to be great. And it is promoting yet another aspect of the tradition of music, of Ireland, of contemporary music, you know. It's great. Mm. We look forward very much to meeting you when you're over here. And again, New York, you're performing at Carnegie Hall. Debut concert at Carnegie Hall, and that's on the 15th of March. And you're also, there are a number of private events before, during, and after that, the St. Patrick's celebrations. But you're also going to launch in New York a second album. Can you tell us?
Yeah. I'm delighted to be able to tell you that our second album, which is called Perpetual Twilight, is being launched the evening of our Carnegie Hall concert. It will be available from the 1st of March to mark the month of St. Patrick's worldwide for purchase. And we'd be very glad if any of our listeners in the United States were interested in picking up a copy. It's got music from the Irish tradition, texts, as I said, like Dúlamán, the seaweed song that Clonagh made famous. Danny Boy is on there. Bona La Harca, which is an Irish language song from Kerry. It's a child song talking about a cow. And then there are two Scottish songs, and then there are seven new compositions by Irish composers or international composers using Irish poetry. So Bill Whelan has written a piece for us with Frank McGuinness, the playwright, writing the text, and Colin Mobby, the English composer, has set two poems by James Joyce, who, of course, as I said, was at school at University College Dublin, and in fact had won a bronze medal for solo singing in 1904 at the Dublin Fesh Ceoil competition. So he was reputed to have been a very, very fine tenor voice, an Irish tenor voice, as we know and love. And then composers from the United States, Timothy Stevens from Australia, Natasha Paulberg has written stuff for us. So it's an exciting collection of pieces. Has one original piece by myself on it that was commissioned to mark the passing of the total solar eclipse over the West Coast in the United States in 2017. That's called The Body of the Moon, with the text by Galileo Galilei, the Italian scientist. And it's got really interesting pieces, and I think your listeners will enjoy the variety of that sort of distinctly Irish, fresh, modern, contemporary, and yet familiar sound.
You know, the UCD alumni circle here is massive. Mm. It is huge, and I know that in addition to everything else, the word is out, and there are people who are scrambling actually to change their plans to get into New York, because again, UCD, University College Dublin, has without a doubt the best ring to it, and it's internationally known. You're bringing another aspect which may be known, throughout a great, well, it's known now, if you start off with 10 million followers, you're almost there. But we're delighted that you're coming here. Excellent. Okay. And for YouTube, it's on the Core Scholars University College Dublin. There are some tracks on there too. Desmond, you'll be very lucky that indeed there's room for you in New York, because of course, as you know, it's our biggest day, it's our biggest season. But also to come and entertain at Carnegie Hall, that is fantastic, and indeed you and the core group will be very welcome. Thanks a lot. Okay.
Thank you so much, Adrian. Thank you.
And, we do want again to thank our guest, Desmond Early there, the Artistic Director of the Core Scholars of University College Dublin. It is a big event, and first of all, to have access to Carnegie Hall on Friday, the 15th of March, is great. But to have a debut concert by a core group, the Core Scholars of University College Dublin, excuse me, that is. That's a great opportunity for